Well, in the past couple of weeks, the attention of the entire globe has been fixed upon the coronavirus, also known as COVID-19, which in a very short time has impacted virtually every aspect of everyday life. No mystery to any of us. Entire nations have been quarantined. Many factories and businesses have ground to a halt. Educational institutions and large churches have closed or transitioned to online teaching venues. Major sports events, the sacred cow of our culture, has been canceled, if you can imagine, or postponed. Travel has slowed, markets have crashed, and fear and anxiety has gripped men's hearts. Just a few days ago, Dr. Anthony Fauci, director of the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases, testified before a Senate committee on Capitol Hill in Washington, D.C., that, quote, COVID-19 is at least 10 times more lethal than the seasonal flu, end quote. So at this point, it's quite certain that this is no hoax or false alarm. No, on the contrary, coronavirus is a clear and present danger, and its footprint will continue to widen in the coming weeks and months. It may even affect one or more of us. Over the past few weeks, we've been bombarded with news concerning this disease. Virtually every headline that we've heard or read is negative, right? Warning of the liabilities and the detrimental effects of this super virus. Almost hourly, new information is reported, and virtually all of it has served to heighten our sense of alarm and concern. And of course, some of that information is important and useful for us to know. However, what has been virtually absent from any reporting on the coronavirus, at least in my opinion, is anything positive and beneficial about it. And of course, one would have to view this deadly disease through the lens of a Christian worldview, a verse like Romans 8:28, in order to find anything about it that would resemble a blessing or a benefit. So I want to try to do that this morning. Today we'll pause from our regular exposition of Romans, address the subject of the blessings and the benefits of coronavirus. And in your bulletin, I printed 7 of them that I thought of over the past couple of days. I'm sure there's many more, and you'll probably think of one this morning. But this morning we'll focus on these 7. And rather than read all of them now, let's just begin with number 1. Blessing and benefit number 1 is this: coronavirus is a reminder that the consequences of man's fall includes all kinds of diseases and sicknesses. Since man first sinned in the garden by disobeying God's command not to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, what's happened? Well, he's been suffering its punitive effects, namely spiritual and physical death. In Genesis 2:17, God said, "In the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die." Spiritually, you'll die, and eventually, physically, you'll die as well. And that by virtue of the entrance of all kinds of pestilence and infirmities that will affect your fallen body. And as we learned in Romans 5:12, it was through the one man Adam that sin entered into the world, and death entered through sin, and thus death spread to all men. So, Christians would do well to always remember that every human infirmity, listen, every human infirmity, whether heart disease, cancer, respiratory disease, diabetes, Alzheimer's, kidney disease, pneumonia, or flu, including coronavirus, are all parts of man's death sentence and can all be traced back to their origin in the fall. Man's mortality, his fragile constitution, and all his bodily ailments and infirmities, including coronavirus, are tangible reminders that the consequences of man's fall includes all kinds of diseases and sicknesses. Okay, blessing and benefit number two on your outline. Look at it. Concern about coronavirus is an opportunity for Christians to exercise greater faith and confidence in God. Well, let's face it, when life is good and things are going well, we don't usually sense a great need to trust God, right, and to depend on Him like we should. But when life gets turned on its head, when uncertain, fearful, or threatening times come, then we're much more inclined to go to the gymnasium of faith, aren't we? We're more likely to turn to God and cry out to Him when things aren't going well, and when we're losing some of our creaturely comforts, possessions, and securities, or when our health is at risk or in jeopardy. When that happens, it's an opportunity for believers to exercise greater faith and confidence in God. Commenting on this in one of his briefings this past week, Dr. Al Mohler said this, and I quote him, "We as Christians understand that our ultimate confidence can be in God and only in God, but we do understand that there are other structures that we depend upon in this life, but we tend to sometimes get our confidence in those structures out of proportion. For instance, there are an awful lot of people who have had too much trust in the stock market. They had too much trust in the burgeoning and growing American economy, and they also had too much confidence in the stocks they held or in the bonds or banks, bank accounts. So, the coronavirus is a humbling reminder of the fact that our confidence ultimately can be only in God and in God alone." End quote. Well, what Dr. Mohler is suggesting is essentially the same as our second benefit on the outline, which is this, that concern about coronavirus is an opportunity for Christians to exercise greater faith and confidence in God. If you were to just reach in your pocket right now, or your pocketbook, you'd probably find a whole lot of reminders about that. They're called pennies, nickels, dimes, and quarters. And each and every one of them, still to this day, have a little slogan on them. And you know what that is, don't you? In God we trust. And that's what we need to be doing at this time, isn't it? Exercising greater faith and greater trust in God. Benefit number three on your outline. Coronavirus is a reminder that God is in control of the natural world, not man. Now here's where there's a great divide, even among some who profess to be Christians, unfortunately. Some want to say that hurricanes, floods, earthquakes, and diseases, including things like coronavirus, are simply acts of nature. They view them all as morally neutral acts of nature that follow their own laws, but have nothing at all to do with God. However, quite to the contrary, God's word makes it clear, abundantly clear, that God brings himself into all of these events and identifies himself as the controlling and ultimate agent of them all. For instance, you just make notes now, Acts chapter 3, verse 6. God posed this question to his children in Israel. If there is a calamity, a disaster in the city, will not the Lord have done it? Will not the Lord have done it? And in Isaiah 45, verses 6 and 7, God said, I am the Lord, and there is no other. I form the light and create darkness. I make peace and I create calamity. I, the Lord, do all of these things. Now, commenting on this, Jerry Bridges, in one of my all-time favorite Christian books called Trusting God Even When Life Hurts, if you haven't read it, you must. He said this, God himself accepts the responsibility, so to speak, of disasters. He actually does more than accept the responsibility. He actually claims it. In effect, God says, I and I alone have the power and authority to bring about both prosperity and disaster, both weal and woe, both good and bad. He continues, this is a difficult truth to accept as you watch people sift through the rubble of their homes, or more to the point, if you are the one sifting through the rubble of your home. But we gain nothing, he says, by seeking to minimize the force of the present verse. We must allow the Bible to say what it says, not what we think it ought to say. He continues, we obviously do not understand why God creates disaster, or why he brings it to one town and not to another. We recognize too that just as God sends his sun and rain on both the righteous and the unrighteous, so he also sends the tornado or the hurricane or the earthquake on both. God's sovereignty over nature does not mean that Christians never encounter the tragedies of natural disasters. Experience and observation clearly teach us otherwise. End quote. So coronavirus, among other things, is a reminder that God is in control of the natural world, not man. In fact, I would go so far as to say there is not one stray atom, not one rogue or renegade atom in the entire universe that isn't beneath the auspices and control of Almighty God. Amen. Benefit number four, coronavirus heightens a sense of need for God's protection. That's a phenomenon of human nature to see the pattern of people filling churches during episodes when they feel significantly threatened. We've witnessed this several times in recent years. The 9/11 attacks, for instance, on our nation by the Islamic terrorist group Al-Qaeda filled churches across the land with people sensing a need for divine protection. And some similar, smaller-scale terrorist incidents have done the same thing in recent years. And the fear of coronavirus spreading into our local communities may do a similar thing. It may heighten people's sense of need for protection. And some may turn to God and to the church to find it. So if that opportunity presents itself, then let's all be ready to point people to the one in whom protection can be found. Tell them that God is our refuge and strength, the very present help in trouble, and therefore we will not fear. Psalm 46:1. If people express fear or anxiety, then let's be ready to share the gospel with them, tell them how fear of death can be overcome because of the one who overcome or who conquered death itself. Use the opportunities that coronavirus creates for the cause and in the interests of Christ's kingdom. Now, closely related to this is a fifth benefit, which is this on your outline, benefit number 5. Coronavirus can provide evangelistic opportunities with the unconverted. Now, you'll never hear about this from the mainline media, but a Christian ministry called Heart Cry, directed by the well-known pastor Paul Washer, reports that some of our Chinese brothers and sisters in Wuhan, China, where the outbreak of coronavirus first appeared and has claimed many lives, have been risking their lives every day in order to share the gospel and to preach Christ during this time of crisis. According to Heart Cry Ministry, and I quote their article now, they say Chinese Christians have gone out every day into public places to give hope to the Wuhan citizens. Christians evangelize in the streets, giving free flyers and masks to anyone who needs them in order to help people not to get the virus. Since buying protective masks has become difficult, believers give them away at no cost. They also give a word of faith, encouragement, and hope to people. It continues, according to a letter issued by a Chinese pastor, even political authorities who normally ban Christians from spreading the gospel have been more open to the faith, risking their lives by preaching the gospel. The Chinese Christians of the nation have earned the respect of many for their great courage. End quote. And that demonstrates how the coronavirus can provide evangelistic opportunities with the unconverted. Benefit number 6, coronavirus is a reminder of our mortality. Undoubtedly, behind much of what's going on in the world around us, the hoarding of certain foods and supplies and toilet paper, the cancellation of events where people are in close proximity to one another, you know, what's behind so much of that is the fear of death. Highly contagious and potentially lethal illnesses and diseases bring people face to face with something. It brings them face to face with a sense of their own human mortality. And that's a really good thing. That's a really good thing. The world only focuses on celebrating life, right? That's what it's all about. But God calls people to consider death and to take it to heart. In general, people suppress thoughts of their own mortality, but on the other hand, God commands the consideration of one's own mortality as being something profitable and good. The wise King Solomon, you might remember, in Ecclesiastes 7, in verse 2, he said this, "It's better to go to the house of mourning," referring to a funeral, "than to go to the house of feasting," like a wedding. "For a funeral," he says, "is the end of all men, and the living will take it to heart." So in no uncertain terms, Solomon commends attendance at a funeral more than attendance at a wedding feast, because a funeral causes people to consider their own mortality, which, Solomon says, is the inevitable end of all men. Well, a serious illness or disease like coronavirus can provide the same kind of benefit by being a reminder to people of their own human mortality. The seventh benefit, and the last one on your list, is this: coronavirus can help teach people the futility and temporary nature of riches. In just a few short weeks, this pandemic has almost single-handedly reduced the value of the stock market by about one quarter. Some of you are painfully aware of that. The market has fallen from a high 4 weeks ago of 29,551 to 23,285 on Friday. That's a 6,266-point drop, nearly a quarter. Many are saying, as you've probably heard, that coronavirus will precipitate a recession in our economy, perhaps worldwide, and that the economic aftermath of this may take years to recover from. Well, I'm sure you'd agree with me that there's nothing intrinsically good about losing a lot of money and having about a fourth of our nation's wealth evaporate into thin air, as it so recently has done. However, if there's a silver lining to the cloud, to the dark cloud, then it's this: coronavirus can help teach people the futility and the temporary nature of riches. Again, Solomon, the wise king, in Proverbs 23, verse 4, wrote this: "Do not overwork to be rich. Will you set your eyes on that which is not? For riches certainly make themselves wings. They fly away like an eagle toward heaven." We have seen that literally happen in the past week or so. And concerning the futility and temporary nature of riches, Jesus taught his disciples in Matthew chapter 6, verse 19. He said, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart also be." So since people, even Christians, are so prone to depend upon their money and possessions for security and safety, and to make them their greatest treasures, then coronavirus can be a great blessing and benefit by helping to teach people the futility and the temporary nature of riches. Well, having considered seven blessings and benefits of coronavirus, let's conclude by making a few general applications. The first one is this: life is unpredictable, so expect sudden dramatic changes. Only God is unchangeable. Everything else changes. In fact, everything in this world is laboring and groaning in a state of constant change and upheaval. Next week in Romans 8:22, Paul tells us that as the result of the fall, the whole creation groans and labors with birth pangs. And Proverbs 27:1 speaks of the constant uncertainty and changes that are part and parcel of this life on earth. Solomon wrote this: "Do not boast about tomorrow, for you do not know what a day may bring forth." The stock market might be a timely illustration of that. For years, the stock market has been bullish, with its horns up in the air, values skyrocketing almost daily. But in very short compass, the market suddenly switched from bull to bear, losing nearly a quarter of its value in a matter of a few days. And this teaches us the principle that life is unpredictable, so expect sudden, dramatic changes. The second application is this: pray specifically about whatever causes you to be anxious and fearful. I would imagine that there isn't one of you here today, including myself, that hasn't had at least a pang or a twinge of some fear or anxiety over the events of the past couple of weeks. Our common tendency is to become anxious about things when they turn south and when threatening things appear on the horizon of our lives. And we can get swept away, literally, by a riptide of anxiety and fear when we focus on those looming dangers on our horizon or on the horizon of life. However, God calls us to prayer. To prayer. To very specific kinds of prayer that He calls in Scripture supplication. Philippians 4, 6, and 7. If you don't know that verse, you ought to be dwelling on it in these days especially. It says, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep your hearts and your minds upon Christ Jesus." So, Christian, pray for God's protection from the coronavirus. Be wise and do all you can to prevent getting it. Be practical about safety and hygiene. But don't let fear get the upper hand with you. Instead, pray specifically about whatever causes you to be anxious and fearful. The antidote that God has given to His believing people in times of stress and anxiety and fear, in a word, is prayer. A third application is this: the threat of coronavirus provides motivation to optimize your physical health. You can view coronavirus from the perspective of it providing a strong motive for achieving or maintaining good physical health. The fact is that healthy people aren't as severely affected by coronavirus. And therefore, it behooves us all to be as healthy as we can possibly be. In fact, that's the constant obligation of everyone, particularly Christians, who have the indwelling Holy Spirit residing within them. Now, I realize that some people have no control over their health conditions, but many others do. Many others do. So insofar as you can improve your overall health, the bottom line is this: the better your overall physical condition is, the better able you'll be to cope with the coronavirus. Conversely, the worse your overall physical condition is, the less able you'll be able to cope with it and fight against it. And hence, in this way, the threat of coronavirus provides motivation to optimize your physical health. And in this way, it can be a blessing and a benefit. A fourth and final application is this: the coronavirus is a merciful shout from God to mankind. It is a merciful shout from God to mankind, calling them to repentance and faith. Actually, that could be said concerning any disaster or calamity. They are all like loud shouts from God to mankind, demanding their attention and calling people to repent of sin. This principle is illustrated in Luke's Gospel, chapter 13. We looked at it in detail some years ago. You might remember, if you were with us, the Tower of Siloam had collapsed, killing 18 bystanders. And the crowd wanted Jesus to comment on that particular disaster. So they asked him if those 18 people were worse sinners than others who weren't killed when the Tower of Siloam fell. To which he replied, "No, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish." Interesting response. What he was teaching them was that every disaster or calamity that sweeps men away in death is a merciful divine call or shout to repent, and a divine warning to escape eternal punishment and avoid perishing forever. So essentially what Jesus said in response to the crowd's question about the tower disaster was, let the sudden end of life for others in tragedy be an occasion for you to prepare for God's final judgment by repenting of your sin now. Great calamity awaits all impenitent sinners in the world to come, more than any calamity that they may experience here in this life. But God, through Christ, has made a way of escape from it through repentance for sin and faith in His Son. Jesus can save you from the greatest of all calamities. Death will come to all men, and to some very quickly. But Christ's gracious and compassionate call here to all is repent now. Repent now while there is time. The coronavirus is a merciful shout from God to mankind, calling them to repentance and to faith in Christ. Amen. Amen. Let's pray together. And Lord, thank you that we are able, as your people and with the aid of your word, to view this impending virus, albeit a deadly one, through the lens of blessing and benefit. We pray that your people would take these things to heart, and that they would become the grid through which your people view what is happening and what will continue to happen in the coming weeks. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.